Welcome back to another episode of the greatest podcast on earth. We are here at the LeVar Walker podcast show. And before I get into it, I'm going to be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater Friday and Saturday, September 29th and the 30th. Two shows on Friday, two on Saturday. Also, if you are in California, in the Bay Area, yay, yay, I will be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, California. That's going to be October 13th to the 15th. So what's going on? There's a lot going on in the news, so much shit going on. And the first topic of discussion is the Jenny Mai and Jeezy divorce. Yes. As you know, Jenny Mai and Jeezy, they got married. They had a child together. And now they're divorced after 24 months. It turned out that Jeezy ended up filing for divorce, which was really interesting to me because men don't typically file for divorce. It's typically the women. So for Jeezy to file for divorce, man, I'm guessing Jenny Mai must have been a monster in the marriage. I don't know what it was. It's very painful to even talk about a divorce, but man, she must have been off the damn chain. For a man to come home and look at a woman after 24 months and a child, then go, you know what? Fuck this shit. I can't take it no more. And just go down to the courthouse and file. You know, I was thinking about that. I was like, what could have gone wrong? So I went and did some research and I saw that Jenny Mai had admitted to having certain anger issues where I guess she would fuss or argue, you know, she would get into it. Her first husband, they had issues and she even tried to work on herself. This is straight out of the horse's mouth. And then she married Jeezy, multimillionaire, rap phenom. Jeezy, the legend, Thug Motivation, 101, 102. I forgot how you do the lab. It's been a minute. Businessman. I guess she just crossed the line. I guess he couldn't take it. I guess she had fussed at him and cussed him out one too many times. And that was probably the last thing he said. And just walked the fuck up out of there and went and filed that paperwork. I guess she didn't know what she had or took it for granted. I don't know what's going on in the world, but there's a lot of this going on in the world. Like recently, Remy Ma and Papoose, they done. Recently, Teyana Taylor and Iman Shumpert, done. I don't know what's going on in the world, but I know we need love. I know we need, people need to be together, shit. And even when you look at Remy Ma and Papoose, this woman, he was married to this woman, used to visit her in jail, go down to the jailhouse, put commissary on the books. Papoose a good man, good solid brother, can rap his ass off, man. She left this brother for a 25-year-old battle rapper. What is going on here? It's looking like, are we reversing roles now? I mean, is the man the woman and the woman the man? What's going on? I get it. I guess women feel sexually liberated or something. It's getting wild out here. And I'm sure Jeezy must have looked at Jenny like, you know, I didn't hear about this from Asian women. I thought y'all was, you know, a little more subservient. I'm sure he thought that. And no. So all women seem to be, it's a whole battle going on. We having destruction of the nuclear family up and down. Teyana Taylor and Iman Shumpert, that's a beautiful couple, beautiful people, man. beautiful people. They look like gazelle, like beautiful gazelles or some shit. And to see them break up is just horrific, man. I don't know what's happening right now. Especially for Jeezy to walk out of. He did it. He said, fuck this shit. How rough could it be? You talking about a man that used to sell dope and kept the yams at his auntie house. Maybe Jenny May didn't cook the yams. Maybe she didn't have them yams out. Maybe there's a meme going around of him eating a bowl of zucchini. Maybe he couldn't take that shit no more and got up out of there. And he filed. Men don't typically file for divorce. The woman typically comes home and just gives up and leaves her husband. What kind of abuse was Jenny May doing to Jeezy? This street guy, this gangster. Even a gangster like Jeezy couldn't take that shit. This is how bad, this is what's happened to us now. Even Jeezy like, I can't do it no more. Went down there to the courthouse and filed that damn paperwork. Now it's over. Now Jenny May is, I guess, at home. But she has said, I was watching some show when she was on The Real, and she had said she liked to keep her dark meat on the side. Well, I guess you should have kept that dark meat on the side. You can't talk to no rich black man crazy. You didn't know that? I guess maybe being on The Real, you just felt empowered, huh? You really felt empowered, like Jeezy ain't got 10 million bitches in line outside your door waiting for him. You didn't know that he was the catch. You didn't know that, huh? You just thought you just gonna run over this man, break yourself. I don't really know what happened. I'm only going off of allegations. I'm just going off what I think happened. I don't know. I'm just a guy talking to people in a closet. I'm just a comedian talking to people in a closet. But it's sad. I really wish they could have worked it out. Maybe some counseling. He said, fuck counseling. He didn't even try to go to counseling. What's going on? What's happening in our world? But a man didn't even, no counseling. He just got the fuck out of there. You couldn't have made him like a nice shrimp fried rice, some egg foo young, something to keep him. It's a good man. It's a good man. I don't get it. I don't get it. I guess women must be reading these books, these novels or some shit, and thinking that the grass is way greener on the other side. Because now where you going to find another fucking Jeezy? Where? Where you going to find a nigga that came from the streets of Macon to make it to that level and to love you? Where? And I'm only doing this because I'm concerned. I am concerned. For Papoose, shout out to Papoose. Papoose loved this woman with everything he had. You saw it. You saw it. And what did she do? She go get dick from a 25-year-old. 25. You know, the older we get, our dicks don't be that hard. No, you know, that shit'll get loose. You know, now she getting the cement dropped off in her. And what can Papoose do? I heard he might have tried to fight this guy. This is what I heard. Because he's hurt. He is hurt. You know, with bees in the wintertime, in beehives, I don't know what particular hive this is, but they typically, the worker bee or some shit. I think the whole hive is women, and they have a few drone bee, like male bees, but they get impregnated by the male bees, and they kick them out in the wintertime for them to die because they have no use for them. But we getting to the point where women are no longer having any use for men other than us building the world and making cars and all this shit for you to enjoy? Is this where we're headed as a society? Because if we are, I am scared. What do we do? As men, it's already hard being a man, but It's gonna be a lot hard if you just can't love a woman. So we gotta rethink this. And I wish the best for Jeezy and Jenny Mae. I wish they could come back together or something. This shit is just, it's really sad. But I have to speak on that because I'm doing this podcast and it gives me content to talk about. That's why I'm talking about it. Can't you see the sincerity in my face? So let's just do better. Let's do better, y'all. I don't know. It's just the way times are changing, the way we are all, even though it's 8 billion people on the planet right now, we're so much interconnected. And, you know, a lot of brothers, and then I'm going to tell you brothers something too. Everybody that's going outside, you're not messing with the sisters. Hey, these other groups are acting the same way now. This is the whole thing that's happening to the world. So all I say is be careful and call me. Moving right along. We go get done. So shout out to Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. I happen to be a bandwagon Colorado fan myself. I was actually in the beginning when he started out for Jackson State. I was a little voiceful in my opinion of him leaving Jackson State. I felt like when he first left Jackson State, he left Jackson State and just used the HBCU and this whole movement of black people and shining lights on HBCUs as a footstool, basically, and then just pivoted off to Buffalo, to the University of Colorado, which is a PWI. What I find most interesting in this whole Deion Sanders phenomenon, I mean, first of all, I want to say first and foremost, Deion Sanders is a legend, and he is literally making a movie. This is a movie. Do you understand me? When this writer strike is over and shit, people are going to be banging his door down to get the rights to the biopic. Because this is a whole move. This is Remembering the Titans on steroids that's happening right now. But what I find so fascinating about it is just people, the nature of people. And I want to speak to my black people in this moment. When Deion Sanders first went to Jackson State, there were a lot of black people. We down for the movement, you know. Niggas had kente cloth dashikis out there at Jackson State. It was packed. And I love what he did for HBCU as a former HBCU graduate. What I find funny, however, is how all those people, everybody that's so pro-black, everybody that was down for the cause, how they have just so easily flipped and just jumped the gate. Right. And at Jackson State, when he was there, and I think he did a terrific job, and I won't even blame his reasoning. I want to say this, and because I don't want to say anything negative about it. I think he wanted to stay, but maybe the school, maybe there was some issues internally that he saw this opportunity. He's like, I'm not putting up with this anymore. But what I find so interesting is how everybody so easily fly. And I knew this would happen. I knew everybody, once he went to Colorado, all that attention, all those funds, all those resources would follow him, leaving Jackson State just destitute. Now, I don't know what the administration did. I haven't talked to them, but I was very wanting him to stay. I wanted that light to shine on HBCUs to get those schools the funding to get that money, to get that light, to bring HBCUs up. But the world that we live in today, understand, and I understand this too because I'm on social media a lot, people are just going to ride with the attention. Whoever has the most attention, whoever's winning. You saw The Rock at the game. You saw Lil Wayne at the game. You saw Offset at the game. You saw every major celebrity, everybody, and somebody, I don't know what site this was, but one site had made a comment saying that Dion has turned the University of Colorado into an HBCU. And I took somewhat offense, like, no. Once again, Dion is bringing a lot of attention and money to the University of Colorado, but at the same time, this is the same narrative that we do as Black people. We're there to be the help. We're, you know, he's entertaining as the coach. He's bringing a lot of attention to the school, a lot of money, song and dance, football, entertainment, athletics. It's not a HBCU. It's not. It's a PWI. And they have done, they made a wonderful investment that is paying off significantly. But I am definitely a fan, and I am ordering my University of Colorado hat and t-shirt now, because I don't give a fuck, because a lot of you don't give a fuck. So I'm jumping too. I'm coming with you. We can all hold hands on the other side. Fuck it. But a lot of times when I call out things in the community, don't be so quick to dismiss me. Don't ever be so quick to dismiss me and tell me I don't love my people. It's a lot of times, you know, I can be brandish all the while, you being a coon. No. This is what it is. I love my people, but I just have to call out, and I want to make that point. So everybody listening to this podcast, understand, be strategic in how you move, and understand people are moving with attention. Attention is worth more than oil. It's worth more than gold in this economy. This is an attention economy, and people are going to ride with wherever that is, wherever they can get the love. Them tickets went from $100 to like $600. University of Colorado is gaining so much attention. They getting more attention than the Denver Broncos. Do you understand? Than the Denver, fuck the Broncos. Nobody's lining up. That stadium is not being filled to see Russell Wilson play. They all go to University of Colorado. It's crazy. And I'm crazy. And I'm getting my hat and shirt. And I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it to the fullest. Because this is where we at right now. This is where we're at as a society. But he's doing a wonderful job. He's kicking ass. He's kicking ass. And people are also being bandwagon because everybody wants to be with a winner. The man is a winner. They want to be with a winner. That's one of the most important things about this whole situation. So they running over there, man. And he is definitely kicking ass with his three toes on that one foot. He's kicking ass right now, and I love it.
Because my luggage is Louis, dog. All I do is win. I win, see?
I love it. So shout out to him. Shout out to his kids. I saw that hit that the young boy did to Travis Hunter. That was horrific. And that kid needs to be suspended from the game. That was just really bad. He cheated. And to see Dion, and then I want to say this too. Dion is a great example of a Black man in every sense of the word. He's a great example. He's a role model. He is someone to look up to and aspire to be. But all I would say is just state your intentions up front and stay with those intentions. That's all. But I do have a great deal of respect and admiration for my brother, Deion Sanders. It's just funny to me, and I have to call out human psychology, and I have to look at humans, and then I have to be strategic, especially in this particular climate that we are living in. So I'm going to move right along. Nicki Minaj, she is beefing. Well, Nicki Minaj's husband, the guy goes by the name of Kenneth Zupetti, was having a beef with Offset. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe it's about Nicki and Cardi, but Nicki Minaj's husband got on video threatening Offset. And I'm watching this and I shook my head. And all I could think is these niggas are too old to be doing this shit. How you, them niggas damn near 50 years old talking about what they gonna do online. But I felt a sense of freedom in that I'm not a street nigga. If I was Offset, I would have called the police on him so fast. I would have got him off the streets. Cause that's not safe. You threatening this man. This man is a father and he has children. But of course, you know, that's just what I would do. But I understand that a lot of guys, you want to be cool. You want to be considered a real nigga. So you're not going to do that. I don't do that. But it is what it is. Listen, crash the fuck out. I just think it's a little bit silly for a big grown ass man to be on the corner in front of a store threatening somebody. And this man's wife is multi-millionaire. They are multi-millionaires. I think it is a sad, it's just a really, really bad example. And I would pray that Nicki would talk to her husband and tell him, yo, what the fuck are you doing? This is just stupid. This is dumb. It makes no sense. And when I talk like this, I often receive hate from my own kind. Well, you don't like black people. You know, this is what they say. Because I have to be street because I'm my color. But I'm not. I'm the furthest thing from it, even though I grew up on the south side of Chicago. It's what it is. I despise that shit. I really, really do. And I'm from it. But I just despise it because it's just put our people back so far. And it just hinders us. And it's like a cancer inside of our own communities where we're rotting from within. So I just have a high level of disdain in regards to that type of activity. But I hope and pray nothing happens. I really hope that they work that shit out because it's silly. It's silly shit. I don't even know what the fuck they beefing about. I don't know if it's because of Cardi B. I don't know. Everybody's mad at everybody, especially in music. I guess because music, the dynamics of music are changing. I don't know if it's getting, it seems like it's just getting so much harder to be an artist in music. And these artists are all selling the catalogs. And speaking of artists selling catalogs, we know that Diddy had given those publishing rights back, which are worth nothing. And they turned out to be an NDA statement. But these artists that are selling their catalogs, this is my theory. My theory is these companies are buying all of you guys' catalogs up. These are tech companies buying. These are hedge fund tech companies that I believe are buying this shit up. And they're going to be able to dump all of this music, all of these catalogs inside of a computer, inside of an algorithm, inside of some artificial intelligence, which will be able to spit out infinitely. It can spit out the hot, you know, you could say, give me a song where it sound like a young Michael Jackson and with a future flow and a Justin Bieber hook with a Scott Storch feel to it. This is what you could say to this shit, and in minutes it's gonna do it. So I just think these companies are just buying everything. They're buying your rights, they're buying your life, they got the fucking publishing, and then they'll be able to just continue. How do you compete with yourself? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I am not into music like that, but that's just how I feel. That's literally how I feel. I really don't know. But artists, beware. beware, because music is just, I don't even know where music is headed. Somebody had did a report where Pharrell, I don't know how many millions of hits he got from Happy, but he only made like $5,700 off of that shit. And that shit might have had a bit, I don't know how many streams it had. So I'm not going to quote myself on that. But it's just different and strange times that we're living in. Very different and strange times. So, moving right along, Kirk Franklin, man, I watch it. Look, if you got time to check this out, it's a Kirk Franklin story. Kirk Franklin met his father for the first time in his life at 51 or 53 years of age. This was a very, very interesting documentary. I knew nothing about Kirk's background, but come to find out, Kirk Franklin was an orphan. He was adopted by a 65-year-old woman. Kirk didn't have any brothers or sisters, no cousins. It was just him. It was just him alone with this old family or this old woman. And he had to cling to music and church. And I just want to tip my hat to Kirk, just for him to be able to make it out of all of that and to become Kirk Franklin. But then at the same time, it just shows the beauty of struggle. And it shows the beauty of struggle. And it shows that if you have the resilience and the faith, you can walk through shit and come out smelling like flowers. This is real. Because based off of what I saw in the documentary, and I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but based off what I saw, right? It's like if you take this guy whose parents gave him away, whose mama didn't want nothing to do with him at the time, gave him up. He didn't know his father. He's just in this home with a woman receiving lots of rejection, lots of abuse. It seemed like if you were just to listen to the story of Kirk Franklin without knowing it was Kirk Franklin, and someone would say, how do you think he turned out? Most people would have probably said a serial killer on drugs or a criminal. But no, he turned out to be one of the greatest gospel, you know, people in gospel music the world has ever known. So there is beauty in struggle. I'm going to say that. So if you are going through something, know that whatever you're going through right now, there is beauty in that. And I want you to stay focused. And I want you to think about people like Kirk Franklin and others who have gone through tremendous struggle to make it out, because you can make it out too. And I hate to get too motivationally on here, but I just want to drop that message. And then his mom seemed to be suffering from mental health, to the point where Kirk he ended up getting the DNA test, and the DNA test said it was 99.9% his dad. He go tell his mama, she was like, ain't no way. That test is lying. Ain't no way. Mama don't know. She hadn't this was not the person that nutted in her this particular day. Kirk goes to get another one and sits down with her. And she still denies it. So for this man to go through this type of trauma and pain, and with the hands of the Lord, you know, he had the Lord's hands on him, he became Kirk Franklin. So once again, a salute to him. And everybody go check that show out. But I am wrapping this up for today, man. I really hope you guys enjoyed this. I'm LeVar Walker. Listen, check me out. Once again, I'm going to be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to the 30th. Also, I'll be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, California, October 13th to the 15th. So please go to my website, LeVarWalker.com. You can grab those tickets to either one of those shows. And I want to thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart, you guys, for tuning in. And please, too, if you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel. Everybody that's listening to it on Spotify and everything streaming, I have nothing but love for you guys as well. And I appreciate you tuning in. We're growing pretty rapidly. And so nothing but love for you guys. And that will be the end of this show. I am mad. Thank you guys for the love. I'm going to give me a good outro one day, but thanks for the love again. Peace. Quit running.